it to them. So why don't we give them a hand? And Owen, you've got to tell us who you are and what you're about and maybe what you were doing out there in Jeffries. It sounds like it was fun and exciting. So I'm going to give you the mic and you go for it.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Irwin, spelled with an E. I've been called Herman. One of my Bible college professors just refused to call me by my correct name. I was Herman for years, just so you know, Herman. So it's a bond there, buddy. Yeah, I wear this shirt with pride. I lived in South Africa for 12 years, and a part of my heart is still there. Love that country. Love those people. And there's sometimes just when I start talking about South Africa, I feel like I want to cry because I still love so much about my life there. I came to Alberta in 1989, went to Bible college, graduated Bible college, went into ministry as a worship pastor, met my wife, beautiful wife. I don't know if anybody knows Shauna. It used to be Shauna Muth, but Shauna Black. And we've been married for almost 27 years now. Four beautiful children. My son was with me last night, David. He was the tall, thin one at the back here. And we ended up in Jeffreys Bay in 2006 for about 4 months on a sabbatical. I'd met Pastor Louis Ells in Canmore, Alberta, in 2005. Make a very long story short. It was one of those divine connections that God immediately spoke to me that it was time for me to pack up the house, pack up my kids, resign my position at the church, and go to Africa. And so we did that. We moved officially in 2007, landed January 13th, 2007, and spent the next almost just shy of 12 years there learning life in a whole different way. And it was great. The one thing I think I can attribute the most to South Africa is it taught me how to grow up and how to become a fighter and a warrior. So I carry that in me, and I want to thank God for South Africa and the sons of South Africa for teaching me what it means to be a warrior and not a passive-aggressive wimp. And although there are passive-aggressive people there, but I'm a Canadian, I love my country, and last night when I spoke over the guys that were up here about the spirit of a warrior, I know that's one of the things that God's called me to walk in and being back here in Canada in an extremely passive-aggressive culture. And it's time for us to stand and to speak. I've been a worship pastor for 24 years, and came back to Canada, and God told me to go get a job, so outside of church. So I'm a salesman, so I like to talk, and I usually like most people most of the time, but not all the time. But I just want to say, Len, it is an extreme privilege for me to be here and to stand on the pulpit in this house. You guys are legends in my book. I don't know you that well. I need to get to know you better. And we keep talking about having coffee, and it still hasn't happened. Life keeps happening. But I feel definitely kindred spirit with both of you. And I just want to say from what I do know of you, I love you guys. And it's a privilege to be here. So thank you for having me. From the time that I was a young teenager, I've always loved the presence of God. My dad used to take me to all the weird meetings, the Benny Hinn meetings, the Morris Sorello meetings, and we weren't even Pentecostal. We went to everything, you know. We went to charismatic Catholic meetings. Like, we went to everything. Like, seriously, my dad dragged me to every kind of, I feel like a Heinz 57. I feel like people say, what are you? I'm like, I don't know, a bit of everything, I think. And it's in some ways, it's opened doors for me to be a part of many different church groups and speak to different church groups. But always the presence of God, always the times of worship. And I remember even as a teenager being in the presence, Sunday night services. There was something about Sunday night services at the Pentecostal church. That's when Holy Ghost showed up, you know. Sunday mornings was, it was okay. But Sunday nights, you know, Holy Spirit showed up. And we'd cry and weep and hear God and blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And it was just fantastic. And I always felt this calling. I eventually started to play drums and joined the church worship team. I was part of London Gospel Temple in London, Ontario. Had a huge church, huge music program. Got involved, and I thought, that's what I want to do with my life. I just want to sing praises for God, you know, with my whole life. And it's all just going to, I'm going to go to Bible college, and it's just all going to work out, you know, because that's the way it's supposed to be. I am an idealist, but I've had plenty of encounters with reality along the way, and a lot of good lessons that God's had to teach me along the way concerning life and walking in the kingdom, but I still have a passion for his presence after all these years, and it's increasing and increasing and increasing in him. I've just come through probably the hardest year of my life of transition, coming out of 24 years of ministry, coming out of a culture that you have a love-hate relationship with in South Africa. You love it there, but you can't wait to leave, but you don't want to leave. And, you know, you deal with the corruption, you deal with the cultural tensions, you deal with the potholes, you deal with the absolute inept municipal government, you know, like it's just like, but at the same time, you love it there, you love the people, you love what, and God taught me what it meant to be a son in the kingdom in South Africa. God taught me what it meant to walk with fathers in a house and live out accountability, what healthy confrontation looks like, to face issues, to speak up, to speak out, to have a voice, and to face your fears, and to conquer. So that was a little bit of my journey. But over the years, God has also taken me on a journey of understanding what is worship. And we've all heard this, you know, the term, the sound of heaven, and it's kind of a buzzword out there, and everybody's talking about the sound of heaven. It's in everybody's latest, you know, Christian worship hit that's out there on YouTube and whatever else, the sound of heaven. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? So I started on a journey. I began to ask God, what does the sound of heaven mean, and why is it so important for us as a church to understand what it means? And there's a man on my journey who impacted me significantly, although I've never met him. His name is Ray Hughes. And I started watching some of his stuff. I started reading some of his books, and God began to open my eyes. And then as I began to delve into Scripture myself, God began to unlock some stuff for me about understanding why praise is so important, why God shows up when we praise, why it's so important for the church to get this. And there's a little video clip I want us to watch to kind of set the groundwork for where I want to go this morning. Is that cool? Can we play that, please? Come on. That set me on a journey when I realized that God is all sound and God is all light, and all life is sustained by the sound of his voice. All matter is created by him, sustained by him, and his voice is everything. When it says in Matthew 4 that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread representing what? Both the fruit of God's hand, because grain's got to grow, but also the fruit of our hand, our efforts. And God says, you know, you can keep working and you can keep trying to live off the effort of your own hands, but you know what? You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep producing. God says life doesn't flow from there. It comes out of the sound of my voice. So then God took me on a journey. And I started in Genesis chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Verse 3, what's the first thing God does? And God said, let there be light. And you know what? The sun hadn't even been created yet. That's how powerful his voice is. He doesn't need a sun. He doesn't need a star. All he needs is it's who he is, his voice. So that starts the whole process of creation. Then we get to Genesis chapter 3, and this was powerful for me. Adam and Eve had just sinned. You have to remember, they had perfect everything. Their lives were perfect. Their bodies were perfect. The garden was perfect. They had communion with God day and night, and God would come down in the evening, and he would commune with them and walk and talk with them in the garden. And yet Adam, not a bright boy, chose the love of his wife over obedience to God, which, I mean, we can understand, right, guys? And so he sins. And then God comes to look for them, and it says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Then I was reading I was reading another translation one day, and I read this, and it said, it was the King James, and said, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. And Holy Spirit stopped me up short, and I was just like, whoa, they heard a voice walking in the garden. This doesn't make sense. Now, the particular Bible I was reading happened to capitalize the V, which denotes a name or a title. So I started paying attention. So I started looking, what is this word, voice or sound, different translations use? And it's the Hebrew word QOL. So pronounce that what you want, call, qual, whatever. But it means the full spectrum of all sound. You know that sound when you hear rushing water, when you hear thunder, that white noise? That's what that word means. It's the full spectrum of all sound. They heard that sound walking in the garden. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, do you not understand that I am my voice? My voice is not just something that comes out of me. I am the full spectrum of all sound and all light. That's why when the word says, in him we move and live and breathe and have our being, everything comes from him, comes back, it goes through him and back to him, it says in Romans 11. Everything, he sustains everything by his who he is. So the Hebrew word means the full spectrum of all sound. And then Adam says, I heard the voice of you in the garden. I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid. Later on, we see in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 Samuel 22, it says, and you hear the same term being used again. God thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. Literally means voice or thunder or the full spectrum of all sounds. So then now my interest has peaked. I'm saying, God, what are you saying to me? And I started reading in Ezekiel. I love it. Ezekiel, these wild prophetic guys. So Ezekiel chapter 1, there's a whole passage from 22 to 28. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to jump to verse 24. And I also heard the sound, call, of their wings, like the sound, qual, of abundant waters. Then they went like the sound, like the voice of the Almighty, same word, qual, and the sound of the tumult, qual, like the sound of an army camp, wherever they stood and dropped their wings. And I heard, and there came a voice, qual, from above the expanse that was over their heads. Everything, I felt God say to me, Erwin, everything in heaven resonates with the sound of my voice. Everything in heaven resonates with the sound of my voice. Everything, every sound, every movement resonates with me and with the sound of my voice. And then later in verse 28, I fell on my face and I heard a voice, Cole, speaking. Ezekiel chapter 2, he moves on. God speaking to the prophet, and he's saying, but you shall speak my words, dabar, to them. The Hebrew word there is dabar, which means almost word for word, the definition of the word Logos. And I want you to remember that for a second, because in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. Yes, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We see him describing Jesus. Later, I'm just going to kind of take you around and show you some thoughts here. So we get to Revelation chapter 14 now. Now we're speaking in Greek, not in Hebrew. And we see John the Revelator talking about the rushing waters, like the loud peal of thunder. And the word there used, the sound of many waters, the sound of loud thunder, the same word there, but in Greek it's the word phoné. And you see it all through the book of Revelation, describing the full spectrum of all sound in heaven. Again, it's very, very cool. Ironically, you see that same word being used again in Acts chapter 1 and 2 when the rushing wind comes and visits the church. So, I'm asking God, what happened? What's the timeline? So I felt like God began to lay out a timeline of what's happened. So at the very beginning, we have man in complete fellowship. God speaks a word and creation happens. The full spectrum of all sound, releases a word. He releases Jesus. And with that word, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, with the word, he created the worlds. So he speaks a word and all matter happens. Mankind happens. God comes and communes with man. Man is in complete resonance and agreement with the voice of God. He's vibrating with the same frequency that the voice of God vibrates with. It's like two tuning forks. You ever seen that? You ever seen that experiment before? You hit one tuning fork. I wish I had them here. You have one in A, and you bring another tuning fork that has not been hit, and you bring it close, and they both begin to resonate with the same frequency. So all of matter is in complete agreement. All of man, God, and matter is in complete agreement. Sin happens. And what happens? The agreement between heaven and earth is broken. The resonance between heaven and earth, the resonance that keeps all things in perfection, in perfect health, perfect life, peace, joy, prosperity, that resonance is broken. So we see the institution of the first covenant. God puts in a whole list of things that Israel must now do. They build a temple, and they're sacrificing the shedding of blood for the atonement of sins. But it also in that time, during the time of King David, we see what's called instituted the Tabernacle of David. And in that time, we see a forerunner, a small glimpse in one part of the earth by one man and about 4,000 musicians, where God institutes 24/7 worship in a tent with the Ark of the Covenant, with no veil separating the people from the Ark, ironically, no veil. And they worship God day and night, the high praises of God on their lips, with skill, with passion. 24/7 worship goes up between heaven and earth. And there is this foreshadowing look of what God intends for the church. You see this connection reestablished. And during that time, Israel experiences unprecedented prosperity and peace because there's agreement between heaven and earth. Earth is vibrating at the same frequency as heaven in one location. You see where I'm going with this? So Amos chapter 9, verse 11, God says, I, in the last days, I will restore the tabernacle of David. We fast forward from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God speaks a word again, and he sends the Logos, Jesus, the one through whom the voice of God passes through us for our salvation. He just said it. I couldn't have said it any better than him. That's why I showed the clip, because I've not found any way of portraying what he has shown better. Oh, he's putting all this up here. Fantastic. What a good man. So we have the introduction of Jesus. We have the introduction of the Logos. Now, you need to understand something about Jesus. The Logos is the expression, the word that comes out of the Father's mouth. So when the Father speaks a word, he releases a living and active word. Every word that God creates, because God is the eternal creator, he's never stopped creating. He will never stop creating because there's no shadow of turning or changing in him. He is unchanging, so he is always creating. And every time he speaks a creative word, he releases the Logos. Logos is Jesus, who is a living and active word. And when I got saved, guess who came to dwell in me? Jesus, the hope of glory, the living and active creative word of God through whom the voice of the Father passes through. So that same word that caused all creation to be created, that heals every disease, that brings every person to salvation that God desires to have brought to salvation, that does all the miraculous things that we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that caused the walls of Jericho to happen, that voice now dwells in me. And then on top of that, we have Acts chapter 1 and 2, we have the mighty rushing wind, full spectrum of sound. God says, when Jesus came, when Jesus shed his blood, you who were unrighteous now are righteous. You were not able to be a tabernacle of my presence. You were not able to be a tabernacle of who I am. But now that I have made you righteous, God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. I declare over you this morning, by way of reminder, if you have forgotten, that you are righteous. Full stop. And because you're righteous, Jesus and Holy Spirit can take up residence within you. And between the two of them, the Rhema and the Logos, they are the full representation of the full spectrum of the sound of heaven. And they dwell in you. So, what does that mean? God is all sound, God is all light, and all heaven is in agreement with him. And his desire is that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. One of the greatest weapons that God has given the church is worship. We are the portal of God's favor and life and blessing to the earth. We are called to be vessels that resonate with the sound of God's voice. It is impossible to resonate with the sound of his voice if you don't know his word. That's why we must be in the word. My favorite scripture verse for New Testament worship is Chronicles 3:16. Let the word of Christ, the Logos preaching of Christ, dwell in you richly. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing and encouraging one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want to read that in the, I believe I have this here in the Amplified. It is so powerful. Let the word spoken by Christ have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you with all of its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insights and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody with his grace in your hearts. There's an invitation that God gives us. He says, if you're going to be full of my word and if you're going to be aligned with me, you're going to be in agreement with me, when there's going to be a sympathetic resonance between you and me, when we worship, when we sing our psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, not only do we come into agreement, but our surroundings come into agreement. This year in particular, I hope I'm making sense. Is this making sense? I know I'm kind of, this is normally a 3-day course I do, so I've canned this into like 45 minutes to an hour, so please forgive me if I'm like, I asked God, this is what happened last night, because I am a bit of a perfectionist and a detailed guy, so I get behind my computer and I want to write down everything that's going through my head, and I just felt God say, close the computer and go to bed, and I'm going to guide you in the morning. So I'm really, God's taking me to another place even in my speaking, because it's not my background to just, you know, go for it without a really fairly strict plan. But I know this. This year has taught me more about identity than probably, well, as much as the last 12 years. Because I'm not a full-time pastor, which for guys who've been in full-time ministry for most of their lives will realize that if you're not solid and anchored in your identity and who you are as a son, full stop, and not your position and not your ministry, it can be a hard thing to adjust out of. So this year was a year of me finding myself again in some ways. And I remember the first time that I went through burnout in ministry, it was shortly after that I ended up in South Africa, and I went through that whole, woe is me, and oh God, if you want me just to be the janitor in the church, that's good enough for me, and I bless all the janitors in the church, it's great. But I'd been a worship pastor for quite some time, and I was doing the whole sob story, you know, with God, and I was wailing, and, you know, we're having one of those really good Holy Ghost moments, and I was crying, and kind of feeling sorry for myself, you know, willing to let it all go and be nothing for Jesus. Like, how pathetic was that, eh? Anyhow, so I'm standing there, and God speaks as clear as a bell to me. He says, Erwin, what are you doing? You are a carrier of the sound of heaven. And this year, I was reminded again of what that means. Because when I praise him, you have to understand, what is praise? Praise is me saying, mind, will, feelings. Align yourself with who God is. Align yourself with what he's done, with what he said, what he is saying, and what he's doing. Align yourself with his character. Align yourself with his purposes. God works all things out for the good of those who love him, and most of us want to stop there. Like, oh, somehow God's going to make this all nice. He didn't say that. He said he works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And the last time I checked, and after all the Bible stories I've read, and if you just reread Hebrews 11, you'll discover that his purposes often take you to uncomfortable places. So deal with it. I say that in love, but deal with it. So I'll say this, that when I praise, I'm realigning with him and his purposes. I'm realigning with his kingdom. So it is not about songs. The songs facilitate it. Why? Because God is so full of melodies and harmonies and rhythms that if you're not singing, first of all, you're in disobedience to his word, but you're not in alignment with how he wants to be approached. Psalm 100 says, we come into his presence with, that literally means songs of thanksgiving. It literally means songs of praise. That's how God likes to be approached. We are saved. I am full of the resonance of God. His melodies, his harmonies, his word dwell in me, and they resonate. And yet we live in a culture, and we've been trained in cultures where we've been told that real men don't sing. And we are shy and bashful and ashamed at the sound of our voice. Why? Because the enemy has always known, if I can steal your song, I can steal your destiny. Every nation has a song, but when a nation loses its song, it loses its destiny. Because God is sound, God is music, God is harmony. He's all of those things. He's vibrating. And when you're not, you're out of sync with your maker. God has a specific word he's spoken over you. Are you resonating with it? We worship. I sing. For all the people who don't, and my action thing is going to be, we're going to release a sound. Because sometimes it's just about getting the sound out, not about the words. We hide behind songs. Jesus is more than a song. He's a sound. Some of you have been holding back the sound that's within you. But I praise to come into alignment. I will worship him. My mind is full of stinking thinking. That will stop now. My heart is full of hopelessness and depression. That will stop now. I've been leaving lies. My will is in rebellion. I will stop now. I will lift my hands. I will dance. I will shake off the chains. I will break off the mindset of, well, people are watching me. Self-awareness is from the devil. As a believer, you're called to be God-aware, not self-aware. Aware of who's in you is greater than he who's out. Christ in me, the full spectrum of the sound of God's voice dwells in me and wants me to vibrate. The only way I can vibrate is if I praise. When I begin to praise him, I come into alignment. This is the beautiful thing about why God instituted the agreement that Ray Hughes was talking about. Because I don't just worship to feel better and change my thinking. I do that to establish the rule and the reign and the authority of God in Irwin. And then, in my home, I worship and I praise to establish the rule and the reign and the authority of God in my home. Every demon in hell can come at me, and they have and they are. But we will not stop worshiping. I often put worship on, especially when my kids don't want to hear it. I put it on and I crank it in my home because we will acknowledge the rule and the reign and the word of God in my home. I establish his authority in my home. I give him legal right and permission to have his way in my home. And then when I go from there as a worshiper and I step into the worship, into the workplace, I bring the rule and the reign of God with me into the workplace. And then on Sundays, brothers and sisters, when we come together, when we praise together with one voice. That's why songs are so beautiful. We get to say the same thing at the same time. Together in unison, with harmonies, of course, but together. So we're making one declaration. Why? To establish the rule and the reign and the authority and the power and the word of God in our midst. That's why the atmosphere shifts when you praise. Because we are establishing, we're saying yes and amen to what God's doing in heaven. We're saying yes and amen to God's purposes. We're saying yes and amen to the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's why your voice must be heard. The word agreement, Ray Hughes touched on it, Matthew 18, verse 19, two or more of you agree on anything, it shall be. Why? Because it's agreement. You're agreeing with God. What does that word agreement mean? Do you remember from the video what he said? It's the word symphoneo. That's what I love that. He started talking about choirs and bands. I'm like, symphonies. Every part in the orchestra has a place and a sound and a part. That's why when your heart is out of tune and there's discord in your heart, when there's hatred in your heart, when there's unforgiveness and judgment in your heart, you are out of alignment with the voice of God. That's why forgiveness is such a big deal to Jesus. That's why he won't forgive you if you don't forgive. That's why he hates sinful deeds. That's why he hates the fruits of the flesh, the acts of the flesh. Because all of those things are out of agreement with the sound of his voice. That's why righteous living is so important. Not because it makes me righteous. No, all it demonstrates is that I'm in agreement with God, the righteous one, and with everything that he's ever said. Is this making sense to you? So what is worship? Why do we praise? We praise for a couple of reasons, especially, and I want to touch especially on why we come to, am I okay for time? One of the reasons why it's so important to come to church, hashtag. Sorry, I won't say it here. Anyhow, get your beep to church. And I say do it as regularly as you can. Make it a discipline that you don't compromise on. Not because it strokes the pastor's ego and makes the leadership feel like they're doing their job. And not out of guilt. But Colossians 3:16 is about establishing the agreement between heaven and earth. But it's also about remembering and reminding each other. Because we forget. If I've learned anything this year, I've learned how frail I am. I've learned how weak I am. I've learned apart from Jesus, his word, and the body of Christ, I have nothing. And how much I need him, how much I need my brothers and sisters. So we come to church, and one of the reasons why we praise, because we say to the guy next to you, walk over to Graydon and say, Graydon, you're being pathetic, buddy. I never say this because he's never pathetic. But someone like him, looks just like him, but doesn't, it's not him. You know, to say, dude, remember, God is good even when life makes no sense, even when bad things happen, even when people get sick and die, and I prayed for them and they didn't get healed. He's still good. He's still worthy of praise. There's one thing, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow morning when I preach over at the local, is about endurance. We give up way too soon, and we don't know the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ, but we don't fully know the mind of God. We don't know all of his purposes and all of his ways. And yet, one thing I hear in Scripture over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, God says, be steadfast. You have need of endurance. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. And I know that this is what God has for this church, our church, and every church that represents him. That when we come together and we worship and we praise and we give for God, and we come into agreement with heaven. This isn't just about shifting us so we can become better people to impact our world, although that's true. We also establish the rule and the reign of God over this region. You need to understand that this is your portion. This land, this part of town, this city is your inheritance. God has given it to you. And when you worship him and you praise him and you bring your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you bring your corporate mind, will, and emotions into agreement with him, there is nothing that he will withhold from you. There is nothing he will not do on your behalf. And he will begin to make a way for you in your community. He will begin to tear down walls. Evangelism will begin to happen. When we fully embrace and settle the worship issue in our heart, that my number one job is to resonate with the sound of his voice, to sing and to declare his praises, and to worship him as a response to praise to God. See, praise brings alignment. Worship is my response. Praise brings alignment. Worship is my response. And my number one job is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. To be full to capacity, whatever that looks like, of his word. To resonate with his word. So that the word of God is readily on my lips. The word says we're to the giving of thanks, our fruit of our lips giving thanks. It's a never-ending process. We continually give thanks. Why? Because we are warring, especially men, hear me say this, because usually the men are the ones who lag behind the women in worship. Because we are called to lead the charge into war for the alignment between heaven and earth. That's why worship is so important. I see men and women and standing in church many times with their arms crossed and their mouths closed during worship. And I realize it's not because they're bad people, and it's not because they're not loving Jesus, but because they don't understand what we're doing or why we're doing what we're doing and how important what we're doing is. I came last night, and I'm been a worship pastor, and the first thing I do, and God forgive me, but I try not to, I'm critiquing the band. I'm critiquing the drummer, because I'm a drummer. I'm critiquing the keys. I'm critiquing the vocals, the sound. I can't help myself. It just happens, because that's what I did. I was always looking for how can we do what we do better, because I believe in excellence. Side note for the musicians. Can I just say this? And for the sound people. In this environment, you are stewards of the sound of heaven. God has entrusted you with a calling to release the sound of heaven in this house. The less discord there is in your heart, the more in tune with the Spirit, we're all like, yes and amen, glory to God. Then I'm going to touch on a sensitive one. And the less discord there is in your playing and in your mixing, because God is not just a spiritual God, and he's not Gnostic, where everything natural is bad. For God, it's all one big thing. Just what happens in the supernatural manifests later, sometimes a little bit in the natural, but for God, it's all one. So one of the reasons why there were such strict regulations for the worshipers in the Old Testament is because they were so good. Get this, eh? I can't tell you which ones exactly, but I know this to be true, because I've heard it from enough reliable sources, that the guys played with such skill in the Old Testament and such connection with God that as the instrumentalists would play, the scribes would begin to write the word of the Lord, because it was a corresponding letter for every note that was played. And as they would play, they would literally, some of our psalms, if you'll read it, from the chief of the string players. Well, how does that work out? He doesn't write lyrics. You know, that's the vocal guys. They do the lyrics. And worship is much more than singing. See, worship, if you begin to understand that releasing worship, and they were called in the book of Psalms, called to sing on their instruments, because the word of the Lord dwelt in them. They had the entire word of the Lord in their hearts. They memorized the entire Torah of the day. They had to know it. They had to know it word for word. And they had to play at such a high musical extreme level. And you have to remember, that was a shadow of what was to come. Shadow. So it's not like we're into performance and perfection. But you're a steward. So God says, are you doing the best that you can with what I've given you? That's the challenge. Are you, when you play your guitar, does my word resonate inside of you? And can people hear the word of the Lord in your playing? And as a team, are you spending enough time together, playing together, singing together, where you begin to hear the word of the Lord as you play? Can you hear what God's saying? Here's another thought. Don't just pick songs that bless you and that are your personal faves that give you goosebumps and make you woo. Spend some time asking God what he wants to hear. Because at the end of the day, praise isn't about you. It's not about feeling better. It's about giving to him what he's asked for. It's about agreeing with him and what he is saying, not what he did say, because God's ever present. Does it make sense? So my challenge to the musicians is be contending for the voice of God and musical excellence, not either or. Always be contending for the spiritual connection. Be full of the word. But how can I always be doing what I'm doing better? The other thing I love about the New Testament over the Old Testament is in King David's day, they had that one portal of open worship and agreement between heaven and earth in Israel. It's a little bit like Jesus, you know? He was great. He was awesome. He did great things. But he was one man in one geographical location. He had limited himself. So what happened when the phoné returned in the book of Acts? God released himself into thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And he released his sound from one location in Israel to fill the entire earth. And you are it. You are it. You are it. Do you hear me? You are righteous. You are holy. You are filled with the vibrating, active, living Logos that the Father speaks to and through inside of you. He is waiting for you to resonate to the place where you can't contain yourself, where you're going to pop. There are sometimes I get into worship. And like it happened last night, even. The worship last night was so sweet. So I'm standing there, and and it's just like all I can do is, just let the sound out. And go, I can feel Holy Spirit come on me. I literally begin to vibrate. And I feel God saying, do you understand that I'm not a lyric? I'm more than a lyric. I'm more than a note. I'm a sound, and I'm in you. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Sometimes some of you need to walk into a room and just let sound go. Sound go. Ephesians 5 tells us, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, speak singing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does that mean? I felt God say to me, you know, it means to practice the making of melodies. Practice making melodies. Practice making melodies so that in the moment, when the moment happens on a Sunday or in the car at home, and God says, prophesy, there's a wellspring of melodies readily available. You've gotten past self-awareness. You've gotten past shyness. You've gotten past, oh, the sound of my voice, it sucks. You've gotten past all that stuff. You know, we kind of do that. We're like, I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to prophesy. Come on, the word of the Lord, with confidence and with boldness. Why? Because the maker of heaven and earth dwells in me. He is all sound. He is all light. And you may say, I'm not a singer, I'm a dancer. You know what? God moves in sound and color and in light. God is the perfect, full, complete picture of everything that is art. And lighting is important. But not that important. But if your anointing is to do lights, then do it. And do it well, please, because we have to watch. I used to say to my band all the time, guys, you have to remember, we practice for two reasons. One is, so when the anointing hits, we can flow in the Holy Spirit, but with skill. But also, so when there is no anointing, we still sound decent. Because at the end of the day, I have to listen to that. Like, really? And you want, no, I'm just kidding, I won't go there. But you know what I'm saying, we've all been in those churches, you know? And, you know, I think if I had to prioritize, obviously the heart is the most important thing. Making a joyful noise to the Lord can I also say this for those of you who are aspiring musicians? That those who have skill, the word says, those with skill will play before kings. Skill opens doors for influence. So it's not just about me getting better because God, you know, wants to hear nicer music or because, you know, Graydon's really picky. He's a pastor of the church. He's really picky, and we have to have, like, it's got to be really, you know. It's not about that. It's understanding that I am called to bring shift and change to the world. I am called. You know that old song, History Maker, from Delirious? It's true. And what does that mean? We all sometimes have these, I think, very skewed and disproportionate views of what destiny means. I can do anything. No, you can't just do anything. You can do what God tells you to do. We're not all queens and princesses and princes and kings. We're not all going to rule the world. We're not all going to be the president or the prime minister. We're not all going to do those things. God has a specific road for you to walk, and that thing you can do, and you can do well. Give yourself to that thing. But can I just say this, that you are called in that arena that God's called you to rule and reign over. You're called to make a difference. And men, you're right. Last night, somebody said something about the atom bomb. Yeah. This is what God showed me about worship that's coming. The church has for years lived in what we call priestly worship. We offer worship to God, which is fantastic. And that should never stop because that's the foundation. We offer priestly worship. And all of us are priests unto the Lord. So all of us are called to sing a new song to the Lord. All of us are called to sing and align ourselves with the rule and the reign of God. Every single one of us. There's not an excuse. But the second wave that we saw released in the church was prophetic worship. And you get all sorts of comments. I'm not a big guy for titles and names and all the fancy stuff that comes out in half the books that are written. Look, the spirit of prophecy is basically the story and the testimony of Jesus. And it should be encouraging, right? It should make you feel edified. It should be for the edification. It should be an expression of God's heart towards you, okay? I don't care if that's a song that's been written for 100 years, written yesterday, or a completely spontaneous song that you came up with in the moment and God gives you prophetic. That, to me, is irrelevant. It's the essence of it, prophetic worship. So there's been a release of prophetic worship in the church. But what God's moving us into is a season of apostolic worship. It's the type of worship where the rule and the reign of God is established on the earth. And when heaven decrees something, we say yes and amen. We're not apologizing. We're not asking. We're not getting all overly pastoral. Oh, are you okay with this? You know, it's just like, thus saith the Lord. And we need to stop being ashamed of being a people of conviction, a people of purpose, a people who say what we mean and mean what we say. You understand? Because there's far too little of that. Everybody's afraid, and I come back to Canada, I'm like, holy cow, what a bunch of marshmallows. Like, where did this happen? You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be insulting. I am a Canadian. I love my nation. And we start to pray and war for our nation. I start to weep for my nation. Because we're actually called to be peacemakers, not just peacekeepers, which means warfare. But learning how to war God's way. And God's way is this. We worship Him. 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 We eat His word and we worship Him and we eat His word and we worship Him. And then as you're shaped into the image and likeness of Christ, you become like Him. And who is Jesus? He's the great intercessor, making intercession day and night before the Father. So what happens when you become like Him? Good praise will always lead to good worship, which will always lead to great intercession. And that is how we war for this city. And the picture I got the picture, it was from the Superman movie. I know. I'm a movie guy. I see everything in clips, okay? I see God shows me pictures when I read the Bible. But I got this picture of Superman with the fist, similar to the atom bomb type of thing. The fist came down and he, you know, in the I think it was the last movie or the second last movie, but he comes down and he punches the ground and there's this huge seismic going out. I had this similar, when you said that last night, I just about, because God's been saying the same thing to me. That's what I've called the church to do. Your job is to bring this part of Edmonton, Alberta, into alignment. With that other word last night was alignment. Into alignment with the purposes of God. Your job is to bring this area of town and bring this city hand in hand with our church and all the other churches that love Jesus and worship Him and are called by His name. We are called to resonate and establish the rule and the reign of God over this city. That's why we praise. It's not just because God says, praise me. Okay, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. He's worthy. Yes, of course. But there's way more depending on this. There's the future and the destiny of all these thousands of people who live in Edmonton, Alberta, who live in Alberta, Canada, who live in Canada, who need us to take our place. All of creation groans and awaits the manifestations of the sons of God. The trees are waiting. The grass is waiting. And it sounds weird because Jesus didn't just come to reconcile people. It says in Colossians 1 verse 20, He's come to reconcile all things back. He wants everything. He wants the planet. He wants the rocks. He wants the trees. He wants it all. And He's done everything He can by the shedding of His blood on the cross. He broke the power of the kingdom of darkness. He has established us. We have been transported out of darkness into light. We are new creatures. All things are made new. I am righteous. God says, now, take your place. Worship me. Be filled with my word. Worship me. Release your sound. Take your place. And can I just say this, especially if you struggle with depression and hopelessness. Especially, that's why we offer a sacrifice. You know, we are the only creatures in all of the kingdom of God that have the opportunity to offer a sacrifice of praise. We're the only ones. The angels will never be able to identify with us. Because we go through things. We've been through all the sinful. We live in this thing. And God constantly gives us a choice. And yet when we present that, you know, your breakthrough comes after you make the choice, not before. I see way too many guys, you don't see them standing in church, and then if it gets anointed enough, the band's hot enough, Pastor Graydon preaches hot enough, people begin to respond, you know, because the atmosphere is shifting. But they didn't shift the atmosphere. They're responding to the shifting of the atmosphere. But what's called God, this is the mature thing that God's calling this church to and our church to. I believe it's the shift that's happening. He's saying, no, I want you to lead the shift. Be the shift. Be those who are like the tuning forks resonating. Lead the charge, make the choice. Your breakthroughs will come, I believe, and I even speak prophetically. I think there's an accelerated breakthrough coming for this house and for local as we step into this. There's an acceleration of breakthroughs. There's an acceleration of God's purposes of what he's going to do as we embrace this with more intentionality. Does that make sense? Wow, I've talked a lot. Shaw. My wife says once I get going, there's no stopping me. I'm like a bulldozer. Just go. I think for the most part, I have said everything that has been on my heart or that I feel I need to share today. But I'm just going to wrap up and say this. God is the full spectrum of all sound and light. The word says it. God says, I am light. He is the light of the world, right? And we hear by the sound of his voice, he is the full spectrum of all sound. He released Jesus and the planets were created. The world was made. He released Jesus again after we'd sinned. And what happens? We are saved. He pays the ultimate price for our sin on the cross. And he can now indwell us. And then that breaking of fellowship between the voice of God, the resonance between the voice of God and creation that was broken in the garden was reestablished in the book of Acts. Can you feel it? Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, I can tell you this. If you're not practicing the presence of God regularly, if you're not in his word, you are living way below where you could be living. And you are not touching the fullness of what God has for you. This next season is for people who have the will and the determination to grab hold of everything that God has for them. It will not just come to you. God is not a God who just feeds the entitled. He gives to those who pursue him. He says in his word, right, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we seek him. Seek him. There's another level that God has for us. What I wanted us to do, and I'm not sure if there's, well, maybe we don't need musicians. Maybe we could. Yeah, I could sit and play. I guess I do that. What I was thinking was it would be really, really good. I feel like we need to release the sound. Because he dwells in it. You know what? You're not going to sound like me. The word symphoneo, you're, I don't know, what would you call yourself? A trumpet? A bassoon? Bassoon is always sounds like funny. You bassoon. Oh, a triangle. Ding, 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 ding. No. You're way too heavyweight, man. It's more like, boom, 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 boom. But anyhow, we all have different roles to play in the orchestra. And when one section doesn't show up, the piece is incomplete. When one section in the choir doesn't pitch up, the sound is incomplete. And you need to understand that the greater the agreement, the greater the breakthrough. The greater the agreement, the greater the miracle. And we don't do it because we want the miracle alone. We want him. But he promises that when we agree on anything in his name, he will do it. That's his promise. So when you come, be prepared on a Sunday. You need to prepare your heart. This is what I felt last night. I was writing notes while we were worshiping. I felt God saying, it's important for the band and the worship team to continually press into me to prepare themselves musically, privately, as a team, and in the word. So take that for what it's worth. Although I just want to say the worship was super sweet last night, so you guys are doing a great job. For the church, I felt God saying, remind the people that they need to come prepared for when we meet. Come prepared to take your place in the orchestra. Come prepared to take your place in the choir. Come prepared, ready to align yourself and ready to be part of the corporate alignment God wants to do every time you gather. Friday night, Sunday, it's not a Sunday thing. It's whenever you gather. As well as make sure you take time to align and prepare yourself at home and practice his presence. You need to understand this is not enough to come to church anymore. God is looking for mature sons and daughters who will accurately reflect him in the workplace, who will accurately reflect him in school, who will accurately reflect him in society, and who will have the courage, and I speak courage to this house. God is saying the days are coming. It will require great courage, in spite of the fear and intrepidation you feel on the inside, to speak up against what the enemy has intended and is intending and planning for our nation. It is time for us to have a voice. It's time for us to participate. It's time for us to get involved in politics. It's time for us to get involved in industry, to speak up and tell people what you think. Not to be rude, but to ask Father for guidance and for wisdom. Holy Spirit, are you telling me to speak now? And it will cost you, but it's okay because great is your reward. Do you understand what God's saying? This is a time for maturity. This is a time for big boy pants. I've had little kids, so I understand the big boy pants thing. But God's saying it's time to grow up. That's what I'm calling you to do in Canada. So I'm wondering if we could stand. We're going to do this without instruments. You know why? Because you're an instrument. God wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear you come into agreement with him. God wants to hear your sound. What he wants to hear is himself coming out through you. Because he's in you, but he's going to sound like you. And there's an alignment that God wants to bring. So we are just going to, I'm going to sing a note. And we are going to, maybe I'll get behind the piano. Is the piano on? It's on. Is this on? The microphone? Okay, let's put that down. Okay. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Can we just lift our hands and just begin to praise him? We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We magnify. Increase the alignment, Lord. Increase the alignment, Lord. Yeah. On the count of three, I want you to let out a shout and a song. And I want you to open your mouth and just let God course through your veins. You ready? One.
We exalt.
has things for us there that we need to explore. But I just want to say, if you're not one who normally sings or it's not your thing, I know at least you tap your toes sometimes to the radio and sometimes you hum. But yet scripturally, God calls us to be a people who sing a new song to the Lord. And it's not just for the people on the stage or the paid professionals or the skilled ones. It's a command given to all believers. And I want to encourage you to really step out and start exploring, making melody in your heart to the Lord. God is going to unlock things for you. Some of your freedom, some of the things you struggle with, some of the things you struggle with internally, emotionally, and mentally are going to break when you begin to practice this in your own time. And then as well, as I want to also encourage you that when you come to church, come ready to align with the sound of God's voice, with His word, with the sound of what's happening in heaven. Come prepared. Ask God, God, what is it you have for me this morning? Practice those melodies. Be filled with the word. Come ready to engage. Lift your hands. Dance. Bow before Him. All the things that God has given us as guidelines in the book of Psalms. But come fully prepared to engage and see what God is going to do as He establishes the rule and the reign of God, not only in this house, but in the city, because you're in the city. Amen.
I just couldn't help raise my tuning fork today. Can you raise your tuning fork? It's a beautiful picture. It's the tuning fork. I've always thought, that's surrender. But today I said, that's the tuning fork. How are we going to hear if we don't put our hands up, if we don't get that tuning fork up? How are we going to know what God wants to release from us unless I raise my tuning fork when my hands are open and my heart is open? I'm going to hear. When they're down, I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be thinking about how much money I owe. I'm going to be thinking about my kids. But when I put my tuning fork up to heaven and I say, God, let me release what that sound is. Let me release that song. So let's because we want to encounter God. But I actually felt that God is more excited about encountering us many times than we are encountering Him. And I had the picture of the kids on Thursday evening with their little costumes on, running from door to door. They were so excited to go and encounter you at your door and get the candy and get the good stuff. And I was just thinking, that was God. Like, he's wanting to be with us. He wants to encounter us. He wants to meet with us. He was more excited about November 1st to the 3rd than we are. He put it on his calendar. He said, I'm going down there to Enjoy Life Church, and local church is coming, and maybe other people will come, and I want to be with those guys down there. He was excited. He wanted to be here to meet with you. So just be encouraged by that. As much as you were thinking, I need to encounter Jesus, I need some clarity in my life, I need to go ahead with God, He was saying, I'm coming to Enjoy Life Church from the 1st to the 3rd and then into the future, to infinity and beyond, because I love my kids. I want to encounter them. Love you guys.